Shulchanarach and Tavkuf Pei Beis reminds us that throughout the starting Rosh Hashanah, throughout Seres Mechuva, there are changes in the Shemona Esrei. And the most significant of which is HaMalach HaKadosh. Instead of saying HaKel HaKadosh, you say HaMalach HaKadosh, that's a Gemara in the Brachas Daf Yud Beis. And it's an expression of the idea that we're going to talk to Rosh Hashanah and Yivam, as we referenced several times, Yeshua Hashanah v'himatzel k'rubia so karov, that the time that Kadosh Baruch Hu is more nimtza, is more karov, we have greater, easier access, so to speak, to Kadosh Baruch Hu during the Asar Yom Shemim Hashanah Yom Kippurim. And part of the expression of that is, interestingly, Malchus. We highlight HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malchus throughout this period. Melech HaKadosh HaMelech HaMishpat. Malchus, of course, is also a major theme. We started talking earlier this morning in Rabban Shir. Malchus Zechronos and Shofros. Malchus is the lead topic there as well. I think I might have mentioned to you at some point that the Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, when it talks about a whole series of Mipnei Maas. How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this mitzvah? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us that mitzvah? A whole slew of different Yom Tov and mitzvahs. Near the end, it's in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin. Near the end of that long list is I think it's all a Brisa of Rabbi Akiva. Mipnei Maam, how come we say Malchus Zechronos and Shofros. From that Brisa, by the way, it sounds like Malchus Zechronos and Shofros is Doraisa. I mentioned this morning, Ramban thinks Malchus Zechronos and Shofros is totally Drabanan. But the Gemara that he referenced in Daf Lamed Daled might only mean saying the Malchus Zechronos and Shofros without Shofar. But it could mean many Rishonim are of the opinion that to enhance the Shofar with Malchus Zechronos and Shofros, that might be a Din Doraisa. That's a simple reading of that Brisa. Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin, it sounds like, well, how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to say Malchus? The Gemara says, Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. Shetam Lichuni Aleichem. You should be Mamlich me. You should declare me. You should deem me king over you. What does that mean? This whole idea of Melech. What does it mean? I may have mentioned to some of you that the Rebbe of Alexander, you talk about this? It was a stand-in for the Gai Rebbe. First Gai Rebbe was a Chiddush Arim. Chiddush Arim lost all of his children, every single one, passed away during his lifetime. Shalom Eda, Rahman Flan. He lost all of his children. He raised his grandson, who later became the second Gai Rebbe, Sfasemes. Sfasemes is the grandson of the Chiddush Arim. So I believe that after the Chiddush Arim passed away, there was an interregnum, before there was a period of time before the Sfasemes was old enough to assume the mantle of the Rebbe Vista. So in the intervening time, there were one or two Talmidim of the Chiddush Arim who filled in. And one of them, I think the lead, was the Rebbe Alexander. Rebbe Alexander said, I have to imagine that he said it somewhat tongue-in-cheek. I mean, the idea is a real idea. It pokes fun at a certain natural part of the way people often behave. He said, you know, we say in the, I think the Rebbe referenced the line, the Piyutim Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Atu Hashem Elokeinu Bashamayim Uvaretz, Gibor V'Naretz, Dagon Revav, etc., etc. Atu Elokeinu Bashamayim Uvaretz. You are our God, the heavens and the earth. So he says, Elokeinu Bashamayim, that's pretty easy. Elokeinu Uvaretz, that's tough. Be like a Kadosh Baruch Hu out there somewhere, running the world, the principle, that's already Madrega, but be mamluch to accept the Melech here, that's really a challenge. In other words, not just to believe in principle that Kadosh Baruch Hu rules the world, but to recognize and accept that that has implications of how I'm going to lead my life, and that's going to sometimes cramp my style. I can't do certain things, I need to do other things because that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu expects of me. That's Malchus Ba'aretz. That's obviously a much greater challenge to genuinely be Mamluch HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all mazet. That's probably why, the last pasuk of Malchios is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which stands out from all the other psukim in that it doesn't actually mention what word does not appear.
Melech.
Matter of fact, Machlokas of Yehuda Reb Yossi at the end of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, whether or not that's an acceptable pasuk. We pass like Reb Yossi that it is. The Marsha indicates the reason why Yehuda rejected it is because it doesn't use the word Melech. Which first begs the question, figure out the word Melech, what does that have to do with Malchus? The answer to that, the Gemara in Brachos Yudal Tezvav says that Kabbalah is all Malchus Shamayim, and then the Mishnayos talk about Kriya Shema is being Kabbalah is all Malchus Shamayim. The Gemara in Yudal Tezvav in Brachos talks about Kabbalah is all Malchus Shamayim coming from the combination of Tefillin, Shema, and Shemon Esrei. Two of those three mitzvahs involve Pesukim of Shema. Because that's what Shema Yisrael is. It's a declaration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echad in principle, and that He's Elokeinu. He's our God, meaning that it impacts us. That's Kabbalah Salmach HaShemayim, and that's why that's the close of Malchus. A Melech HaKadosh means that Kadosh Baruch Hu is transcendent, He's Kadosh, and He's at the same time removed and also imminent. He's very involved in our lives and has expectations of us. If you say that Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech, means that we're willing to listen to His instructions. And this idea is so central that not only is it do we lead with those psukim in Tekiah Shofar for Rosh Hashanah, but that is something that is so central to the bracha, our understanding of Kedushas Hashem, specifically of Hazeres Mei Tshuva, that it's ma'akev. In other words, that's the critical theme of the bracha of Kedushas Hashem of the person Hazeres Mei Tshuva. You left it out, you're going to have your word yod to the bracha. Just like during winter season, asking specifically for rain is a critical theme in the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. If you left it at the same time of the bracha, you have to repeat the bracha, and as we discussed earlier this week, if you repeat the bracha, once you step away from in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you go back to, if need be, let's say in the Sim Shalom, you remember, you realize you forgot to say, no, the bracha, you go back to Baruch Aleinu. You're ready to finish Shemoneh Esrei, then you're ready to have to repeat Chozer Lo, you have to repeat the whole Shemoneh Esrei. Melech HaKadosh works differently because of two things. Because for the purposes of figuring out where repeating a bracha, we consider the first three to be a unit. So going back to the beginning of the bracha is the same as going back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei, because we consider the first three as a single bracha for these purposes. The only time that you forgot a Melech HaKadosh and you don't go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei is if you can fix it directly. Sometimes you can fix something directly if you're still in the middle of the bracha. You left at the same time about the bracha, you're still in the middle of Baruch Aleinu. Now here, it's at the very end of the bracha. It's the last words, HaMelech HaKadosh. So the only way to fix it is, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you realize Tochi Dei Dibur, within a couple of seconds, the time it says just to say a three-word phrase, like Shabbalach HaRebi, within that period of time, you realize you said HaMelech HaKadosh, then you realize you said HaKel HaKadosh, HaMelech HaKadosh. That sort of fix, that's the only fix that doesn't require going back to the beginning of Shema Esrei, is Toch Kedei Dibur. I'm sorry?
Did you say
Kle HaMelech HaKadosh? No, say HaMelech HaKadosh. You're deleting, you're replacing the mistaken words you said before. Question?
By the time that you think Toch Kedei Dibur, it's probably
going to
be
Toch Kedei Dibur. Maybe not. A couple of seconds. People think pretty quickly.
I found that 1.28.
Okay. The next Siman, Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, talks about Simai Rosh Hashanah, but that already discussed, I think, pretty extensively. He spoke a couple weeks ago about the idea of both, and the Shulchan Aruch talks, Shulchan Aruch and Ramah talk, of course, in Tav Kuf Pei Gimel, Shulchan Aruch talks about Simanim, Ramah talks more about Simanim, and adds the idea of minhag of Tashlich as well, both of which I think we spoke about earlier in the season, earlier in the month of Elul. Both of them, you know, you have to figure out why they're not a form of Nichush, why it's not a violation of Tzukim Parashat Shoftu, why is it superstitious? And there are several answers. The thing we discussed, the approach of the Nesivos, which is that it's meant primarily to be, it's a tefillah, and the tefillah is enhanced through a whole dimyon, like the Ramban writes in Parashat Lech Lecha. Sometimes something verbal can be enhanced through acting it out as well. The primary aspect is the Hiratzah, the primary aspect is the tefillah. We enhance the strength and reinforce the tefillah by adding a mime. Now that we ask for Shantam soup, you also eat something soup. And then the Me'iri has a different approach. The Me'iri in Harios takes a different approach. He says that the significance of the simanim is psychological, but it's meant to put us into a different frame of mind. Gemara talks about in Rosh Hashanah, in Harya's, Gemara says that when you coronate a king, you go to the river, which as a matter of fact is one of the reasons why we say Tashlech at the river. Gemara says, whenever they were coronating the king, you see by Shlomo, they went to the Gihon. So the Gemara says, Harya, yeah, that's you take the king, you schedule the coronation to be at the river. His malchus should flow. What does that mean? You said, what is it? Nichush. So either could be some sort of, some sort of tefillah, but there is no tefillah said there. There's no Yehi Ratzon. Yehi Ratzon, she mashech malchuso kenahar. So Meiri says, no, it's meant to put you in a more positive, it's a more positive place to be. The symbol, when you're in place with good symbolism, people are in a more positive frame of mind, and you'll end up being more productive. If you believe that you can do it, if you're in a good zone psychologically, you're more likely to be matzliach. The Gemara also talks about learning to learn near a river or some other place where the air is clear. If you have an easier time thinking clearly. Miri says, that's clearly what we're talking about. Set yourself up to be in a place where you'll be psychologically most likely to be effective. You're in a place with good ambiance. Right? You could learn on a noisy bus, but it's a lot easier to learn in a base measure, so it's designed for focus, than a bus that's not designed for focus. To succeed in learning even on a bus, from Saragri, you'll get extra slack. But obviously, in general, for maximum productivity, you want to put yourself in a place where it's likely to be productive. So the Eri writes that the Nahar for the coronation, the Siman and Rosh Hashanah, are meant to put you in a positive frame of mind to be able to dive more effectively, to be able to govern more effectively, and so on and so forth. Yeah, and earlier this morning we spoke about the Vilna Gaon with the Tafuach. Tafkuf Pei Dalet is a mystery. Tafkuf Pei Dalet, Shulchan Aruch talks about the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah on Rosh Hashanah. So I think I started mentioning it last time. That is mysterious. The Mishnah in Megillah, the end of Megillah, talks about what do you lay in each Yom Tov, and tells you on Rosh Hashanah you lay in the Pesukim and the Chumash that describe the halachas of Rosh Hashanah. We do not do. We have Mafkir from Pinchas, Musaf, but we don't have the core five aliyahs, don't come from Ebar. The Pesukim we were learning this morning, Rabban Shir. Keres Yitzchak, right? The second day of Keres Yitzchak, Perek Chavayz and Brejus. The first day is Hashem Pachat Asara, the preceding Perek Chaval. Halo Davarhu, it's against the Mishnah. So the answer is, well, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says we don't follow the Mishnah, but apparently that was Minig Eretz Yisrael. But the Mishnah, of course, with Minig Bavel, the Gemara handles exactly what is Minig Bavel. The Gemara comes to the conclusion from Abaye, and Minig Bavel is that both days, both the first and the second days of Rosh Hashanah, we lay not the Parshas Hamodos of Rosh Hashanah, but the Psukim from Bereshis. But Mikra Zelmer Darsheni, let's talk of Shah. It's the only Yom Tov. The only Yom Tov where the core laning is not Sukkim and the Chumash that describe, they talk about the Yom Tov. The only one. All the other Yom Tov, except for Pesach, we always Yom Kippur is from Achenos, which is Yom Kippur. Shavuos and Sukkos. Shavuos and Sukkos is exclusively, Shavuos we lay in the first day, the Matan Torah in Yisrael. The rest of Shavuos, the second day of Shavuos, and the days of Sukkot, we lay the Parshas HaMoedim, either Amor or Re'eh. And then Pesach is a blend of Amor or Re'eh, as well as some of the specific Pesach-specific corners of Chumash. One day we lay in Pesach Sheni, one day we lay more than one day we lay from Parshas Bo. Az Yashir the seventh day. Right? But it's always about the Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah, Hashem Pachat Asara. Akedah, beautiful, very beautiful lane, very powerful. But strangely not Rosh Hashanah. Strangely not Rosh Hashanah. Some of the opinions of Chazal that some of these events may have happened in Rosh Hashanah. But it's still difficult. I thought it could be, part of the answer may lie in what we were talking about before. If you understand the Malchus is the central theme of Rosh Hashanah, and specifically the Malchus is, as the Rebbe of Alexander said, Malchus Vashamayim and Malchus Baaretz, a recognition that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, that theoretical reality and the practical application that Kabbalah is all Malchus Shamayim, that I need to respond by aligning my ratzon with his ratzon. That's really the two days of Rosh Hashanah. The kriyos are the 2 days. It's not just that it happens to be one follows the other in Chumash. Hashem Pakad Asara was an expression, perhaps on Rosh Hashanah, of the fact that Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. Kadosh Baruch Hu was always involved in the world. The difference between Neis Nigla and Neis Nister is that with Neis Nigla, it's obvious. Kadosh Baruch Hu, woman was 90 years old, she had a baby. Predicted a year earlier the Nevuah. So that's, as Rambam writes, in more than one place, a Neis is an expression of the fact that there's a power above nature that ultimately runs the world, and that power is nature, a supernatural power, whom we call Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then the Rambam says, and the Ramban writes as well, when not only is there a Neis, but there's a Neis that was predicted in advance by the Navi, in this case that the Malachim came to tell Avraham Avinu, that not only shows that there's a power, that there's a supernatural power who controls all of nature, but it shows that he's involved, that he communicates, it shows many, many Ikari Emunah. Rama writes that way in that one Hakdamas to Pirush Mishnah. Ramban writes that way at the end of Parshas Bo. So that's exactly what you have here. They came and told Avraham Avinu, you're going to have a baby, and Taki had a baby. So that was an incredible expression of the first aspect of Malchus, Elokeinu Bashamayim, that Kadosh Baruch Hu was manig the world. And the second day was an expression of Malchus Baaretz. Avraham Avinu responded with Akeres Yisroel, a supreme act of aligning your ratzon with his ratzon. To say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's what I have to do. That's what I'm going to do. Though I don't understand it. It feels so immoral. It feels so contradictory to other things that Kadosh Baruch Hu has told me. But I know that Kadosh Baruch Hu told me to do this. I will do that. That's a supreme act of Malchus Baaretz. So it made more than the question of when these stories happen, is that these two stories together, the Krios, the 2 days, give very, very vivid expression to the central theme of Rosh Hashanah, the Malchus. Yeah.
Why did you do
Krios Yamsuf on the 7th day of Pesach? We assume that happened on the 7th day of Pesach, and in fact, that's why the 7th day of Pesach is a Yom Tov, as opposed to merely Chol Hamoed. The first day commemorates Yetzias Mitzrayim. The 7th day commemorates Kriyas Yom Tov. And not only another Neis, but it was really, in a sense, Kriyas Yom Tov was the Hashlama of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because when they left, Shavuos down the road is the Hashlama, in the sense that was the purpose of the political freedom, was to be able to come to the spiritual freedom and growth of Mamre Har Sinai. Even with that's Rei Shavuos. The Pesach is about the political freedom. But the political freedom, we became free on Tesvav Nisan, excuse me, and the day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, but it was not clear that it was durable. It was not clear that it was permanent. We were out, but as you see, you keep learning the Chumash, Paro was not planning necessarily to let us stay that way, and he was planning to come after us. The Kriyas Yom Tov is what made Yetzias Mitzrayim permanent. Because now the Mitzrayim army is neutralized, and it's clear that we're here to stay. So that's how you understand the Pesach. Yeah, thinking about Malchus Akronos and Shofars more generally, the fact that we have those three topics, they sound like three important topics. And the more we learn about it, the more we see there's a lot of Rosh Hashanah specific connection to Torah and Malchus, and we were talking earlier today about Zichronos. But Rav Yosef Alba and the Shofaros, we clearly blow Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. Rav Yosef Alba, though, in Sefer Yekarim said it's more than merely three themes that happen to each separately, independently related to Rosh Hashanah. They are also a threesome. They're a trio. Yosef Albo, Sefer Ikarim, is about Ikari Amunah. And he talks about the Rambam's count of the 13 Ikari Emunah, 13 Yesodei HaTorah, what we call the 13 Animamans. Rambam didn't write them in that language. He had other language. Animamans is a rephrasing of the Rambam's 13 Ikari Emunah. So Yosef Alba says there really are three sets. The 13 Ikarim break down to three groups. The first five are about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or believe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The second four, the next four, are about Torah, because belief in Nevuah, Nevuah's Moshe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the Torah through Moshe, and the entire Torah through Moshe, and then he does not plan to switch it up or change it or end it. And then the last four are about Schar V'Onesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is aware, Shachar Pratis, that he responds, or consequences of our actions, and specifically, by Yemos Mashiach at Tiras HaNes. So Yosef Alba says you can think about the Ikarim in terms of three instead of 13. You see them as sort of details of three major ideas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Torah, and Tzarav Yonish. If you read the Sacks, Chief Rabbi Lord Sacks's Perish al Torah, a Perish on the Siddur, so he works with this extensively. That notion of where he uses the language of creation, revelation, and redemption. That's essentially the same thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Borei Olam, creation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, revelation. He reveals himself to us and specifically gave us the Torah. And redemption is the loss of love. It's Karav Yonesh, Moshe Mashiach, so forth. Yosef Albo goes on to say that's also Malchios, Zechronos and Shofros. Malchus corresponds, Malchus is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and that he runs the world. Shofros is interesting, bracha. Shofros begins with Mamon Har Sinai. The psicha of the bracha, Atin Iglesa Banan Kvodecha, is about Mamon Har Sinai. So he says, what one of the themes of Shofros is highlighting is the theme of Mamon Har Sinai, which is the middle Iker of Torah. And then finally, the Zechronos, in fact, the Kadosh Baruch Hu is aware of what we do and responds to what we do. Yeah, our practice is to say Malchus Zechronos Shofros only by Musaf. There were communities where they say Malchus Zechronos Shofros. I think Shechter quotes this from the Baal HaMor. I've been minute bubble. There's a Malchus Zechronos Shofros, I believe. Remember, it's made at Meyer also. Certainly Shofros, Musaf, and Mincha, maybe also Meyer. That is not our practice.
You're really saying you're older,
not sure. I don't remember. Our practice is only to say Malchus Zechronos Shofros and Musaf, because we're only saying Malchus Zechronos Shofros. We understand that specifically a way of enhancing the Tekiya Shofar. The Gemara talks about. Lama token kishen yoshim token kishen omdim. Gemara tells us there are tkiyas, what we call tkiyas tim yoshim tkiyas tim umad, the sitting tkiyas, the standing tkiyas, that's the tkiyas in advance beforehand. You say the bracha and you blow right away, but the ikr, according to the vast majority of Rishonim, the ikr kiyam a shofar is in the context of Malchus Zechronos and Shofros, tkiyas al seder al brachos. There's a lot to say about the details of how you blow and the tefillas and the truas and the shvarim trua, the shema chashe and shema. We don't have time for that. I leave you with an intriguing question to think about. There's a machlokas machaber ramah. In a year such as this, do you say the brachos on the shofar differently the second day than the first day? Ashkenazim say both first and second day, the tokeya says two brachas before he begins blowing. The Birkas HaMitzvah, right? The Asher K'Yisham Tzvot V'Tzivanu, and then Shachyanu. That's the approach to Ramah puts. The approach to the Mechaber puts, the Sfardi approach is, you only say Shachyanu the first day. The second day is like Chanukah. You say Shachyanu once, right? Lulav. You say Shachyanu the first day, not the second day, even though the sacred Yoma. Say, maybe the second day is when the first day you've been kind of a little bit silly. You only say Shachar on the first day. So Ashkenazim differentiate Shofar from other mitzvahs. The Mechaber assumes that Shofar is like, look, you only say Shachyanu the first day. The only time that Sfardim would say Shachyanu the second day of Rosh Hashanah is when the first day of Shabbos, you didn't blow. Oh. So that's clear in Shulchan Aruch. Here, the following is a shaila to think about. Over the course of Rosh Hashanah, we'll live together in the chapter also. Over the course of Rosh Hashanah, sometimes to think of the following fascinating lumdish shaila that takes you in a lot of different ways. Let's say you're a Sephardi. But you heard someone blowing shofar on Shabbos. And this is not just theoretical. In the late 1800s, there was a Talmud Chacham, a little bit of a maverick, his name was Rav Akiva Yosef Schlesinger, who lived in Yerushalayim, and he was of the opinion, based on sugyas beyond our scope right now, and sugyas begin the fourth paragraph of Rosh Hashanah, that if we're in the old city of Yerushalayim, you should blow shofar on Shabbos. The Issur Rabbanan against blowing shofar on Shabbos doesn't apply. Now, there's a riff, the Shitas Arif, handles back and forth. He published articles, he published a tshuva on this, widely rejected. Brilliant, but widely rejected. And there were rumors in Yerushalayim, there were 2 years in a row when there was Rosh Hashanah and Shabbos, there were rumors in Yerushalayim that he was going to secretly follow his shita and blow shofar on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, which was on Shabbos. So let's say you heard him blow shofar. Do you say Shechinah the next day?
Yeah,
you were Yotze. Here it relates to the other question, which is, he's blowing anyways. We hold this also to blow. But he's not asking us. He's blowing whether we tell him to blow or not blow. He's not interested. He holds his right. He's going to blow. Sure. He's blowing anyways. Once he's blowing, then maybe I should go listen. I have a chance, I have a rare opportunity to make kind of a story. So shofar on Shabbos. It's awesome job for him to blow. But he's blowing whether we like it or not. So why not go listen? Or not? And then they relate to the credit of Shechinah also. Should you go if you hear if you can? And if you did, you say Shechinah the next day.